For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, July the 11th, 1998. 4th of July Family Camp Meeting Week being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Come, Lord Jesus, just come, Lord. By the power of your Spirit, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, and we praise you, and we just bless you, and we glorify you, Lord. Come before you this day, Lord, to open your word, Lord, and to look into it, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you, and we glorify you, Lord. And we give thanks to you, Lou, for your great glory, Lord God. Lord, let this word come forth by your anointing, Lord God, and let it go forth and touch the hearts of all who hear it, Lord God. They might bring freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus, Lord God. For you came, Lord, that you might turn us from darkness to light, that you might destroy the works of the enemy, Lord, and bring us from darkness to light, out of darkness into the sun, into the glorious kingdom of the Son of His love. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Well, the last time I talked to you all about conditions for deliverance. And we said, you know, that you had to be honest about your reason for wanting deliverance. You had to be honest about humbling yourselves, and honest about your sins, and honest about your unforgiveness. And then you had to repent, humble yourself, give people. And then there were two areas that we talked about that really hinder deliverance. Both of them are very unrelated. First is the occult. That's seeking knowledge for foreign gods, or worshiping foreign gods, or seeking power from foreign gods. And the second one is sexual sin, and which in Scripture is unrelatedly entwined with the occult. All pagan religions, if you go to primitive religions, if you study the Canaanite religions, the study of the religion of the Baals, or the Babylonian system, you find that they were all entwined with sexual immorality. The Temple of Diana in Ephesus had 2,000 ritual priestesses, which were called Zonites, which were really just prostitutes. And the temple was supported by the wages of these prostitutes. It worked sort of like this. You would go in and make an offering to the god, and then you got to pick out the temple, the priestess that you wanted to worship with. And the Baals, Astra, you read about the groves, which were really just houses of prostitution. And young girls were sold to Baal or to Astra when they were very small. And they were called Zonites, and they were dedicated to temple worship. And they were prostitutes that supported the temple. You find in Genesis that Judah, daughter-in-law Tamar, disguised herself as a ritual harlot, a temple prostitute. And she stood by the side of the road. And she had intercourse with Judah when he came by, and he made her a pledge. He gave her his ring and his staff and promised to send her a young goat in payment, which she could take to the temple to be offered to the god, and then they would use this for food to eat. And this is the way they supported their temples. And if you a careful reading of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, you will find that they spoke of following after the Baals as... They said that Israel went whoring after other gods. And so let's look at what the Bible says in the New Testament. And I think it's interesting that Paul had to write this letter to the Thessalonian church. This is in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He sent Timothy back to see how they were doing. And when he came back, Timothy brought him a good report that they were at good. They had standing. And if you read the first portion of the letter, he says, we give thanks to God always in chapter 1, always for you making prayers, remembering that your work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope. And verse 8, and from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith has gone out so that you do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us the matter of entry we have with you, how you've turned from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait on His Son from heaven. Paul says these people were exemplary, and they were a model to stand forth. And he comes over the first to the fourth chapter, and verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, people, the Bible doesn't say very many places, this is the will of God. And when you see something that says, this is the will of God, you ought to look at it very carefully. That this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You see, it was so entwined in the culture that even after they had turned to God and were exemplary church, Paul had to write them a letter and say, you people got to quit fornicating. You people have got to quit fornicating. It's the will of God that you stop. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the heathen that don't know God. And today in our nation, we have gone back to this spot in Thessalonica where we have churches, good, spirit-filled, Pentecostal churches. But we have folks in there who are behaving themselves in the lust of passion, or passion of lust, like they don't know God. They're acting like the heathen. James Dobson says that some years ago, the advertising industry did a survey. And since over half the people in this country claim to be born again and know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have a reborn relationship with Him, they wanted to find out how they could advertise to these people to get them to buy products and to reach them. And so they did a survey. And you know what they found out? Use the same advertising you always use. There's no difference in them. Now that does not speak good for the Church of Jesus Christ. And so consequently, almost all television appeals to, advertising appeals to lust. Sexual lust. Now, not only sexual lust, you only have to turn the station if you let, and you will find a motivational speaker who's telling you how to make a lot of money. How to divine the stock market right. Send us $100 and we'll send you the perfect system. It's based on the way the stars are moving. Y'all didn't know that? Y'all didn't see those? Oh, we will tell you how to become a success at your job. To be promoted and have people under you and be an authority to satisfy your lust for power and position. But most advertisements based on sexual lust. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter because the Lord is the avenger. If that don't scare you, it ought to. Of all such as we forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, because of this, who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us His Holy Spirit. If you reject this, you're rejecting God, who's given you the Holy Spirit. Reborn Christians don't fornicate. They don't chase after. They control their bodies. And so you say, well, shucks. Does it say that someplace else in the Bible? No. Well, yes, it does. It does say that someplace else in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Now, here in the Corinthian church, well, they were having a few problems, too. Now, Corinth was a seaport town. And this is where the temple of Diana I told you about. Well, not in Ephesus. There was another temple. I can't remember which one was it at Corinth. But to
the word for to be horribly sexually immoral was to act like someone from Corinth. I mean, you know, if you just horribly say, you act like you're from Corinth. And so we're looking at chapter 6, and let's look up at the first of him. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not deceive, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites. Yeah, what's the rest of them here? Thieves, covetous? Drunkards, revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. And he comes on down to verse 13. Says the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And he comes down a little bit more. In verse 16, he says, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And then he makes a statement, flee sexual immorality. Run from it. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. Now, Paul doesn't tell you to flee very many things. Doesn't say run. But here, he doesn't say stand there and say, I'm a child of God and I've got all power over you. And he says flee. Flee. I'll give an praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I relate you a story of a young man who had been recently divorced and was feeling somewhat lonely, and he was in a Bible study. And this young lady in the Bible study found out that he was eating alone. So she said, how would you like a home-cooked meal? And so she invited him to a home-cooked meal. This man was about 40 years old, and he'd been married for some time, and he was divorced, and he was living alone. And she said, well, come on. And so when he arrived at the house, he walked in the door, and the lights were low. And this young lady met him in a very provocative dress. And he looked on the table, and he had champagne on the table and candlelight and low music. And he discerned that all was just right here. And he related to me that he had this horrible. He said he got strangled over some mucus in his throat, and he began to cough rather badly. And this young lady said, just get me a drink of water. And said she went into the kitchen and he fleed out the front door and got in his car and left. Because he said, you know, Dr. Noah, if I had stayed there, I know what would have happened to me. I could have had all the resolve in the world, but I'm not sure that I would have been able to resist. He said, and you had told me that if the loose woman got after me in the Bible study, you had told me that the loose woman got after me to run. And so I just ran. And he said, I'm glad I did. Now this was, and so I had an instance that occurred to me once when I was in my Bible study. There was a young lady who had a child, and she was divorced, and she'd recently moved into a new house. And she told me that she had she had some spirits in the house, and that things were moving around. And she wondered if I would come over and pray through the house to get rid of the spirits. That sounded like a reasonable request. But I have a firm rule: I never go any place, particularly to a lady's home, without a married couple with me, since I don't have a wife to take with me. And so I arrived with a married couple that generally travels with me when we make house calls like that. And this young lady met me, and she had a halter top on and what looked like a bikini bottom. I wasn't really sure. At the door. And I just told her, I said, come right on in. And so, Carol walked in and she gave her the horns up down and she said, "What is it? You need to go put something on, honey." Said, "You been sunbathing?" It was 8 o'clock at night. And so I tell you, it was a quick exorcism. I went and out the door within 5 minutes. I mean, that was a quick one. And I thank my lucky stars that I had. I just thank God. Did I thank not my lucky stars? Oh, God, no. Oh, Lord, no, 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 no. Not that, Lord. Oh, I repent of that Dollar Tree. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just thanked the Lord Jesus Christ that he told me when I started ministering that I should hold myself above reproach. And that there should not even be a hint. It says in Ephesians, in the new, let's see. Hold your finger there in Corinthians. Let's go over to Ephesians. And let's look at chapter 5, verse 3. Now, in the King James, it says, "But fornication and all cleanliness of covenants, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints." But the New International says, "There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality in your conduct." Not even a hint of it. And he said, and he gave me that verse. And so I decided that if I did not go properly chaperoned, I would not go. And I never pray with a lady alone. Never. I mean, if I'm alone in the prayer room and some lady comes in, I have an arraignment, one of the secretaries will come in. If they don't want Vicky there, then they don't get prayed for. I've had people say, "Well, I'd rather not have a hen. This is very personal." I said, "Child, you got to understand something. I'm going to pray for you. There's going to be somebody that's going to..." I said, "Vicky's going to be in this room." I said, "Now, you trust me, you're going to trust her. You don't trust her, then you we'll wait till after the church service and I'll pray for you on the steps of the altar in public." I said, "We'll be far away so nobody know what we're saying, but it's going to be in public. Not in this room closed. Nobody in here but me and you." Uh-uh. And so, you flee sexual immorality. It was just about the being joined one to the... You become one flesh with the heart. Well, a careful reading of Proverbs will show you that there's an exchange of soul material during sexual intercourse. And a bond is formed. Now, this bond is formed, if you go back into the Old Testament, and sexual intercourse is speaking of as a piercing of the body. It says, "Abraham went into her." But the Hebrew word is "pierced her." Now, your body gets pierced. Soul ties are formed. Whether it be French kissing, whether it be some physician examining you, and entering his finger into an orifice of your body, a soul tie is formed. You need to break those soul ties. I tell teenage girls, keep your teeth shut tight. Anybody try to stick your tongue in your mouth, bite it. Keep your teeth shut tight. I'm not even sure that you ought to be kissing. If our culture today is I get very concerned. I get very upset when I go to the public pools and I see young Christian girls exposing their body, that it takes away there is no shame. They become desensitized to shame. I'll always remember when back in 1970, I hadn't been to the pool in about 5 years, and I took my teenage son, to the public pool, and I just almost dropped my teeth. And these girls walked by, and I said to my wife, I said, "My goodness, they don't have any clothes on." She said, "Close your mouth." I said, "They're all like that?" And she said, "Well, if you go around there and look, you'll see everybody's dressed like that." And I just shook my head. I said, "Do they have no shame? Do they have no shame?" And I'm afraid that the heathen have no shame. And if we try to live like and imitate the heathen, then we will have no shame. And we will train our children to expose their bodies so that they become susceptible to the evils of ogling. The young men will ogle and look and fantasize.
and the young girls will allow themselves to be fondled and pierced because it seems like the thing to do and it's what the heathen do. He says, come out from among them, be ye separate. Come out from among them, be ye holy as I am holy. And your sanctification is to avoid. If this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you avoid porneo. That word fornication is porneo. What does that mean? Well, it's the root word from which we get pornography. And it's everything from the starts with the beer ad all the way down to hustler and beyond. That's porneo. If you want to know what it means, just think about what's in those things and beyond. Out there, to the Bible said, it is shameful to even think about the things they do behind closed doors. And so, we're to avoid that. Jesus said that if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, he is guilty of adultery. If he looks on her with lust in his heart, he is committed to sin. Now, the enemy comes in. The enemy of your soul brings lust into you by fantasy. By fantasy. Your mind is the battleground. Now, for men, they got their eyeballs that go back into their mind, and that trips the trigger and starts it moving. But if you're just driving down the road, and you see the beer head up there as you go by, it'll trip it. And then the fantasy will come in, and then the devil will start the tape playing. And if you allow that enemy to play that tape in your mind, that lust can come into you, and it'll be with you. And it'll keep you up at night. And what you have to do is you have to push him out. You have to say no in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And then you go to Philippians 4:4, where it says rejoice. And again I say rejoice. And let your prayers and supplications be known to God with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard, garrison your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Whatever's good and lovely and good report, think on these things. And so what you do is you start thanking God that He's delivered you out of that. And that you don't have to think bad thoughts like that and begin thinking about something else. But think about Jesus Christ. So start praying in the Spirit and pulling down the enemy's strongholds. You know, if every time the devil attacks you and you turn around and attack him, and you greater is he than you, than he that's in the world. If you just turn around and viciously attack him in tongues, when he gets on you, you just turn around and start binding him and attacking him in tongues and speaking confusion to him and binding his spirit. You know, he only got so many demons. He ain't got an infinite number. You know what happens to a demon when you bind it? I'll give you, relate a vision to you. I woke up one morning, about a year ago, and I was in bed, and I woke up and I felt like I had a sack of flour sitting on my chest. I felt like I had 25 pounds just sitting right here. And I opened my eyes, and there was this big cobra snake sitting up there just going back and forth. And it's just the rest of the room looked normal, except that big snake was sitting on me. And I, you know what I did? I pulled a pillow up over my eyes, try to hide from him. But he didn't go away. He just sat there, and I could hear him hissing, and I could feel him on me. And the Holy Spirit said to me very gently, since you can bind him. And so I pulled the stop. I began to think he's real, you know. And I pulled my cover down and looked at him and said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And then his hand came out and just hit him with this. It was this big bronze shackle with a chain on it. It was clamped around him on this side. And then another one here and another one here. Three of them. And I said, out of here in the name of Jesus. And those chains tightened up and that thing, snake and all. Boy, big long. Man, he was a long devil. Just went right out through. I said, man, look at that. While I was watching it, this big black widow spider who had a body as big as a wash tub started through the door of my room. And I could see the red hourglass. I said, ooh, look at that. Now, that should have really frightened me because I had a fear of spiders before I was saved. And I looked at it and I said, I bind you too in the name of Jesus. I didn't hide from that one. And these hands came out and they clamped him. And I said, out of here in the name of Jesus. And they just tightened up and away they went. Now, I don't know where those angels took those things. I don't really care. I said, Lord, give me scripture for that. And he gave me Psalm 105.
149 says, you shall bind their princes and nobles with fetters of bronze. And they were bronze fetters. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And so I came down here and I told Brother Coffee about it. And I said, what do you think of that? And he said, you've been blessed. He went off and prayed about it, came back and said, you've been blessed because you've got to see what happens when you bind the Spirit. I mean, the Lord actually ties them boogers up with iron, with bronze, and hauls them off. I mean, they get bound up with a chain. That's what the word bind means to chain them up. You look it up in Strong's Concordance. And so when the devil is sitting there and he's hitting you with that fantasy tape, whether it's for sex, or whether it's for money, or whether it's for power, or prestige, whatever kind of fantasy it is, it's all lust. You begin to bind that booger. You say, in the name of Jesus, I'm binding you in Jesus' name. Now, if you sit there and enjoy it and listen to it and enjoy it and just keep on driving and thinking about it, and it tells you how you're going, boy, you know, if this would have happened, if only this had happened, you know, and if only if I invested in Microsoft and put $10,000 in it back in 1986, I'd have $1.5 million today. Yeah, what would I, what would I do? I'd tithe, boy, God's going to give me the lottery, boy, you know, the lot lays in the lap of the Lord, and I'm going to buy my lottery ticket, and I'm going to tithe on it to God, and then I'm going to take it, and I'm going to give so much to church, and I'm going to build an extension onto the church and everything, you know, and so forth, the air castles are building, and the demon is playing his tape in your head, but he is establishing legal rights, because as you yield to him, the more you yield to him, the more in bondage you become to him. It says that in Romans 6. Let's look at that. This is not the way I thought God was going to take me. Praise you, Lord God. Let's see here. Romans 6:16. Or don't you know, to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether it's a sin to death or obedience to righteousness. Hallelujah. Now let's look at John 8:34 and see what that says. John 8:34. And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. When you allow these things reign and you submit to them, they build up legal rights to you. And the more you submit, the more legal rights, the more authority they have. And to the point, you can get to the point where you can't even think because of the crazy thoughts running through your mind all the time. I know people who come in and they can't even think straight because they're just having a flight of ideas. Now, that's a psychological term. That's what happens to somebody who is becoming psychoneurotic. Isn't that a nice term? Or a symptom of schizophrenia is they have flight of ideas. I mean, they got thoughts going on, and they get to talking, they get to motor mouth, and they're here, and it doesn't make sense. They just talk about one thing incessantly. They talk, and they jump from one subject to another subject to another subject to another subject. And that's that fantasy demon. He's just gotten hooked up to their mouth, and he's just running it out. And that's what happens to you when you keep submitting to daydreaming, to fantasy. And so I say to you, when you're driving your car down the street, you need to keep your mind occupied. If you don't do anything else, attack the devil in tongues. Pray in tongues. That builds up your faith. Did you know that? Amen. Jude says that you being built up in your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Jude, I think it's verse 7. But there are only 20-some verses in Jude, so you can find it. Jude's just one chapter. But it says, being built up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, or praying in the Spirit. And so you do that. And that drives the enemy away. And it's the fantasy that brings you into sexual sin. Brings you into masturbation. You can't masturbate if you don't fantasize. If you don't fantasize, you can't masturbate. Masturbation is a horrible sin, holds lots of people in bondage. It's not a polite thing to talk about. I apologize if I embarrass anybody. But it's the truth. You know, spade's a spade, not an agricultural instrument. Got trouble with masturbation? You're going to call it out. You need to tell it to go.
And then when he tries to come back, you need to say, no, I've been delivered from you, and I will not do that, and I will not fantasize. And I'm going to think of good things, and I'm going to attack you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And so, let's look over at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, says, whoever commits adultery with a woman, that's a married man going out having intercourse with another woman, other than his wife, or a married woman going out and having sexual intercourse with someone other than her husband. That's adultery. Okay. Or fantasizing about it. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now, what is your soul? It is your intellect, your will, and your emotions. Your will can get so totally destroyed that you cannot stop. You can't stop the thoughts going through your mind. You just don't have the strength of will to push it out. You have to set your will against the demon to get rid of him. But your will can be so completely destroyed that you just, the demons can steal your will from you. You know the witch doctor can steal your will from you? The hoodoo can take part of your will and put it in a bottle. Folks look at me and say, really? Really? Well, that's an old medieval superstition. No, it's very true. If you have sin in your life, they can attack you in that area. And they can extract part of your personality, they extract your emotions. And so first it's your will, second it's your intellect, and third it's your emotions. But your will is the major part. That's that free will that God gave you. He set Adam in the garden, and he said you can eat of any tree in him, but he set some rules. But you let Adam disobey him. He let Adam rebel. That's that free will. And God has given you a free will today. Anytime you find yourself in a position that your will has been eroded and something has taken over your will so that you're in bondage and you can't. That cigarette over there, you just can't stay away from it. I mean, you got a headache, you're shaking all over, you're getting nauseated. I mean, you got the cold chills and you get that cigarette. It all disappears. You just fed the demon. Just fed him. Because he has taken part of your will. Mm-hmm. Or you've been in a very traumatic situation. And you say, oh, Lord, I want to forget that. I don't ever want to remember that anymore. I just want to forget that. I want it, forget it. I just don't ever want to remember it. The demon accommodates you. The devil gives you a spirit of amnesia. And you do. You don't remember it anymore. It just sort of blanks out. But then you can't remember the Word of God either. You have trouble remembering the Word of God. And you have trouble remembering what you do with the car keys or where you parked your car. If you're a grocery store, you go out and you say, oh, Lord, where did I park it? Oh, there it is. I see the radio antenna with the green with the ball on top of it. That's my car. So I can always find it. Okay? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you even forget about the antenna with the green ball on the top of it. I cast a spirit of amnesia out of a young man yesterday. Had a very traumatic event in his life. Wanted to forget it. Demon spoke out and said, no, I've got a legal right to be here. He asked me in. He doesn't want to remember. So I had him rebuke the demon and confess he wanted to remember. And that he withdrew the legal rights he gave that demon to be there. And it came out. And then we prayed that God would restore his soul, his intellect that demon had stolen away from him. So when you commit adultery, you destroy your soul. You lose your resistance to control your body and not perform in the passion of lust like the heathen that don't know God. See that any place else, Doc? No? Well, let's look down here now at chapter 7, verse 22. It's on the same page, just over a little bit. And here he's talked about a young man has gone down the street and he's found a young girl who has enticed him in with flattering eyes and smooth lips, with the fluttering of the eye and with the
flattering lips and the enticing speech, she seduced him or compelled him. Immediately, verse chapter 7, verse 21, 22, immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter or a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his soul. That's that word, King James says life, but it's nephthal, the same word back in that was translated soul back in verse 32 on chapter 6. And we got another one talking about the lips of immoral woman drip honey, and then it goes on and says and talks about it, but let's go down to verse 9. Lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. That's the price of adultery. Give you something's going to steal your strength and your health and your finances. Praise you, Lord. And so, Lord, I'm just going to just open this just a little bit. Let's turn over to Hosea. Lots of sexual immorality comes in because of the sins of the fathers. Lots of times, you'll meet people who have horribling, whoring spirits. Now, let's talk about what a whore is. That's a good word. It's in the dictionary. It's a perfectly good word. It's W-H-O-R-E, and it means one who is sexually promiscuous. Now, a prostitute is one a harlot is one who engages in sexual intercourse for pay. But God said to Israel, you're not even a harlot. Said a harlot gets paid, but you pay other people. You're a whore. And so, let's look here now. And so, let's look at Hosea chapter 4. And this is a long, it's about 6 or 8, about 8, 14, from verse 6 to 8 verses long. And I can spend an hour taking this thing apart, or 2 hours. But it says here, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest over me. Because you've forgotten my law, I will forget your children. That's the first one, you forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned, I will change their glory to shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. They shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. They shall eat and not have enough. They become gluttons. They shall commit whoredom, but not increase. Be sterile. You know, God promises there'll be no barren among his people that keep his word. And there shall be no miscarriages among people who keep his word. That's in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, 26, and 27. It's also in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If y'all want to look it up. If you pray for people who are barren, you stand on those verses. Because God promises it to the people who are obedient. There'll be no miscarriages. And I quote that verse over every young lady I see who's tells me that she's pregnant, particularly those who've been trying to get pregnant, want to have children. I quote the verse that they will not lose their young. They will not lose their young. That's a promise of God. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's go on. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. All right. Whoredom, wine, and new wine enslave the heart, bring you into bondage. The people ask counsel, their wooden idols, their staff informs them. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. And so you see here, both sexual immorality and divination, as they asked of their wooden staff. That's a divination rod. And so here we have both idolatry from sexual immorality and from divination, from the occult. They played the halt against their God. He goes on and says, I offer sacrifice on mountaintop, burn incense on the trees, poplars, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters will become harlots, and your brides will commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, or your brides when they commit adultery. For the men go apart with the harlots, and they offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot. Now, they're in the Baal system there that we talked about. Therefore, people who don't understand shall be trampled or ruined. This is the curse of whoredom. And if your forefathers, your ancestors, including your parents, have been involved in any false religion, Christian Science, Mormons, worship of the dead, Masons, Eastern Star, Unity, and Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and so forth. If you've been involved in any of these things, this curse of whoredom can come down for four generations. And so we see a young man who comes in and he says, I have been a girl in a boy's body ever since I was born. That homosexual spirit came into that child in the womb because of the curse of whoredom, the sins of the father. And it's been sitting there waiting for a chance to manifest. Some of these kids become very effeminate. It is said by I almost slaughtered my poor man's name. I can't remember. It's a young gentleman that I met through James Dobson's ministry. And he ministers to Christians who are homosexuals. Or he ministers to homosexuals, period, but mostly Christians in California. And he says that anyone who really wants to turn away, whether they're Christian or not, they can come in and they can be changed. They can be changed. They can break loose. He said it's much, much easier for Christians. But they can break loose of this bondage. But it's hard to do. Because that thing is so layered down in there, depending on, and if you have been a practicing homosexual, it becomes difficult. Just like schizophrenia, you can be delivered from schizophrenia. But it is not a one-session deal. It is a 4 or 5 year process in which you have people who are willing to stand with you, to be long-suffering when you slip, and to stand and speak the Word of God to you, and to pray for you, and to lift you up, and to bring you out again. But if you're willing, and you want to get out, you can get out. And God will set you free. Now, I have a number of men that I know who have been set free. Amen. But it was a long road. Some longer than others, depending on how bad the devil wanted them. How many demons he willing to expend. Because every time you bind them, that one's gone. He got to put another one down there to do it. And you know, he don't have an infinite number. After he lose maybe 4,000 or 5,000 demons on one, maybe he might look on the computer screen and pull up that family and say, oh, look, let's see now. That method's not working too well. Maybe we ought to try something else. This one worked all right on his great-grandfather. Let's try this one. And that's the wiles of the devil. The word wiles comes from the word methodius, which we get our word methods. That's what the devil does. He is a methodical, he's a careful, methodical, evil entity. He's willing to expend a lot of time and energy to draw you back into sin. You get delivered from sexual immorality, the devil will spend a lot of time and spend demons to try to draw you back in. And he will attack you a number of different ways. But if you will stand on the Word of God, and refuse, absolutely refuse to allow yourself to daydream or fantasize, you've got to have the battle won. Because the battle is in your mind. The battle is in your mind. Now you got to flee. Like I did. You know, I carried some help with me. The young man who went into the situation, he looked around and he discerned that all was not well. And he fleed. I had a young lady call me one night on my unlisted number. The one that my kids have, that they call me on. And how in the world she got that number? I don't know. I didn't ask her. Phone rang. And she said, I need to talk to you. And I wasn't on call. Wasn't my night on call. And I said, well, okay, go ahead and talk. She said, no, I want to see you. Can I come by your house? Well, I don't publish my address either. I was living then on a campus of a military school. And I got all my mail at the office. And my phone numbers did not have any address published on them. And so, how she knew where I lived, I have no idea. She said, oh, yes, I know you live in that little white house right by the gate there. I said, well, you can't come to my house. That's against school rules. You get me fired. Well, God forgive me for lying. I'll meet you at this. It'd look better if I met you down here at this convenience store that's got a little table that serves coffee. Now, stop, cup of coffee with you. And so I went down there, and she's a very nice young lady. She had two legitimate children and very good looking, and she propositioned me. And so I countered her with a proposition that she get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I spent an hour witnessing to her and trying to bring her to the Lord. I told her that I was celibate, that I'd never marry again, I was not permitted, and that what she really needed was to find the Lord Jesus Christ and he'd give her a husband for her two children. But about an hour, she said, well, I think I really better go home. You're the most unusual man I've ever met. I said, well, I'll walk you to your car. So I walked out to the car and opened, shut the door, and she drove off. And as I came back into the filling station, there was a grizzly old man there with his beard, and he looked at me. This is on tape, so he used the name of a doctor who was a well-known sexual predicator who just, and he was well-known for his sexual escapades. And he said, Dr. So-and-so, yes, I'm nice. And he used a rather profane statement. And you know what I said to him? I said, thank you very much. I got in the car and drove off and let Dr. So-and-so have credit for that one. I didn't correct him and tell him I ain't that doctor. I'm Dr. So-and-so. Thank you, Lord. But I wasn't about to let her come in my house. If I had to run out the back door and over the fence. And that's what you need to do when you discern that you're being trapped into a situation. I had one young lady in the church who had had problems all through high school. And when she came to know the Lord, she made the decision that she had to leave her lover of 4 years. And she eventually got rid of all the attachments to them. And she was standing and she was doing very well. And he came to visit. And she made the mistake of going to his motel room. And she fell. Jesus. And we wept. And we wept. She repented and she turned. She's married today and she has 3 children and she's leading a chaste Christian life. But she repented. God cleansed her. We prayed and God cleansed her. She asked me what she should have done differently, and I said, well, what do you think? She said, I should have never gone to his room. I said, that's absolutely correct. I said, you should only meet him in company of 50 other people. I met him. He was a very seductive person. He had one of those seducing spirits. Very charming, very seductive. And what you do with people like that, you flee from them, in the name of Jesus. But this whoring spirit can come in. Lots of homosexuals. You see lots of men who have whoring spirits and they just. And you see lots of promiscuous men and promiscuous women because of this. And if you have a history of idolatry in your family, if your father was a Mason, your mother was an Eastern Star, you came out of a church that worshiped dead people, you got Christian Science practitioners, you got card layers, you got the occult in your background, then you need to break the curse of whoredom over your family. You need to repent of the sins of your ancestors. Now, wait a minute, Doc. No, where in the world does it say we ought to repent for the sins of our ancestors? Let's look in Leviticus 26. Oh, turn your Bibles to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26:40 says, but if they will confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, and their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they walked contrary to me, and if their uncircumcised hearts are humble and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. And I will remember, and I will remember the land. And then it says in Galatians 3:16 that Christ was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. So when you repent and you confess the sins of your ancestors, Daniel always confessed and identified with the sins of his ancestors. All ancestors have always confessed and identified with the sins of their ancestors. You confess and you identify with those sins and you hold them up And you say, Lord, cleanse me from all that iniquity. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. It is sufficient. And it will break the curse and set you free and your children free forever. Incest runs 10 generations. Illegitimacy runs 10 generations. Were you conceived out of wedlock, even though your parents got married later? Confess the sin of illegitimacy. Confess the sin of fornication, the sin of illegitimacy, the bastard curse, and break it in the name of Jesus. You got somebody back there in your, in your family back, how many of y'all know what your blood kin's doing 400 years ago? You know, 10 generations is 1,000 people, 1,026 ancestors. You take it back, 2 to the 10th power. That's how many folks. Man, somebody in that outfit must have might have messed up. And so you say, Lord, I just hold up that sin, and you break that curse if it's there. And that curse continues. It's a hidden sin. It's a closet sin. It's one that nobody talks about. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I ministered to 2 little teenage girls. They asked me for prayer. And God told me. And I leaned over and I whispered in their ear. And she began to cry. She said, yes. I said, was it your father? She said, no, it was my uncle. And so we broke it. We broke those curses over. We called that demon out of her, and it choked her when it came out. And she got set free. And I said, Lord, release a vision into her. I released a vision. I said, I release a prophetic vision into her right now, Lord Jesus. I said, you see the vision? She said, I see it. I said, you see that gown of many colors you're wearing? She said, yes, I see it. I said, that is the gown worn by the virgin daughters of the King. That's what that means. It means that God has restored your virginity this day, and you stand before Him as a virgin daughter of the King, undefiled. When you go to your wedding night, you'll carry your virginity. Guard it carefully. That's a vision. That's an act of God. She wept, but she held her head up high because she's a daughter of the King, and she knows it. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is good. He's a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. I could talk another hour and a half, but I think it's time to quit. I say to you that sexual immorality is probably the most common, one of the common forms of lust. It's certainly the kind that advertising is based on. But the other types of lust that are just as bad, they come in through fantasizing. They come in through daydreaming. They make you extremely vulnerable. And as you yield to this and you yield it, it'll have more and more authority over you, and it allows the enemy entrance, that your mind is the battleground. A passive mind is an open door to the enemy to come in. When you get a thought in your mind, the first thing you do, you say, did I bring that up myself? Did I decide to think about that? If you didn't, you said, now where did that come from? There are two other sources. There's the Holy Spirit, and there's the enemy. Well, the Holy Spirit ain't going to bring up no such lustful picture, so you know it's the devil. And it takes you about a tenth of a second to make that decision. It's not one you got to ponder a long time. Amen. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. You spirit of fantasy, I rebuke you. And you say it out loud. You don't think it. Because the devil can't read your mind. He can put thoughts in your mind, and he can steal the word out. Now, I don't understand how he does that, but Jesus said he could in the parable of the sower, that if the word... He says that the birds can eat the seed, and that's the devil stealing the word from you. Now, I don't understand how he does that. God has not opened that mechanism to me. But it says in First Kings, and it says in Second Chronicles, that you and you alone know the intents of the heart. God knows you. He can read your mind. The devil can't. You've got to speak it to him. And so when you want to bind him, you put it in the airwaves. All curses are spoken. You speak it out. As Brother Jim said, that in Isaiah 58, it speaks. It says, if you will refrain from the sending out of the finger and speaking wickedness, That is cursing. All Bible commentators agree that that is a curse. It comes from one of the roots of cursing. It is a pointing of the finger and sending forth an evil implication, a curse. And it has power, people. Don't ever think that curses don't have power. If you've got sin in your life, it'll light on you, right on that sin. If you don't have sin, it sort of flies around like a swallow. Ain't got no place to light. It might go back where it came from. And what you do, that's the reason you put the shield of faith up over you, to ward off the fiery darts of the evil one. I'm getting away from the subject again. Praise God. But you need to rebuke the enemy verbally. Now, you don't have to shout it. He ain't deaf. You know, I was in here about 15 years ago, and I was praying for a young girl, for a young kid right here. And way back over there where Reva's sitting, or a little further back, there was this young lady I had worked with in the past. And somebody was working when they were having a hard time. And I looked over at it, and God gave me a word of knowledge. And I just said very quietly, I said, "You spirit," and I don't remember what it was, "turn her loose." And she rose up out of that chair, and she said, "How can you give her this?" And pointed at me. That was the demon speaking out of her. Now, he heard me just sort of quietly speak it right here. But way over yonder, he heard it. And so you don't have to yell at demons. Sometimes I get frustrated and like Smith Wigglesworth said. You know, Smith said that little lady was coming, he was waiting on the bus, and this lady was coming along, a little dog was coming along behind her, and the little dog was just wagging his tail, and she said, "Now, honey, go home." And she went a little bit further, and she looked back, and the dog was like, "Honey, now you go home." And come on a little bit more, and said, "Honey, you go home." And then that bus, the door was open, bus right away, and she said, "Go home!" And the dog tucked his tail and ran. And Smith looked and said, "That's the way you got to speak to the devil." Now, the witch doctor, he says, "Little brother." The witch doctor talks to the demons. He called him little brother. And he talks real sweet to them. But you don't talk sweet to them. You tell them who got the authority. Now, you don't have to yell at them. I used to think you had to yell real loud. They were deaf, and by the time I got through working deliverance, they got to go through one or two, and my throat would be so sore, I hardly talk for 2 days. And I'm sure they heard me all the way out in the street. Now, sometimes I raise my voice, but most of the time I talk very quietly, and I whisper, particularly if it's nobody else's business. I don't think, you know, I don't think it's anybody else's business what kind of problem you got. I just don't think it's anybody else's business, so I don't scream them out. And most of the time I talk very quietly. And so you speak to the devil. And you say, "Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You're a spirit of fantasy lust. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I don't want you in my life." It starts up again. "I bind you too. Get out of here." Starts up again. "I bind you too in the name of Jesus." And you just keep binding them. The devil, he gets tired of losing his demons after a while. I mean, you just keep shooting his troops, you know. And then you start praying in tongues and praising God and praying in tongues and praising God and thinking all the good things, boy, and just move on down the road and push them out. And each time you do this, they become weaker and weaker. If they got a stronghold on your mind, start now. I tell you, the devil takes ground quick. Boy, you let him, boy, he'll jump right in there. But when you want it back, man, he pushes and he shoves and he pushes because he don't want to leave. That's one thing the Russians found out about the Germans. The Germans fought a very effective withdrawal fight. They were very hard to root out. The Russians stopped the advance. But when they started pushing them back, they found it was very costly. It was a very difficult battle because the Germans fought a very stubborn battle. They eventually pushed them out. And sometimes when you're battling the devil, he'd be very stubborn. He'd bite real hard. But you got to stand in authority and know who you are. And push him out. And you got to push him out with your will. You got to set your will against him. And say, "Get out of here, devil. You ain't got no right to me. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus." And when he comes and tries to layer in on you and you've been delivered, and you get up in the morning and you feel so heavy and you feel so tired, and you know that the devil has just put the oppression on you. He done put two or three sacks on your back. And you stand up and you say in the name of Jesus, it's a good day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. And you go, sir, and you put your trace tape on and you start singing the praises of God and shouting and hollering and thanking God. For He gave you the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness and the oil of joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. You might be a tree. And then you just step on Him and jump on Him and say, I bind you and run Him off. In the name of Jesus. Now, first two or three times, might do that 2-3 hours. Because he'll keep expending demons to see if He can't wear you down. Beat you and make you think you're beaten. You're not beaten. You got the victory. But He got the troops. You know, He liked the Chinese. Man, they when they first started, they sent a wave of them. And all of them had a gun. You shot all them, and the next wave all had guns. And you shot all them, and the next wave, half of them had guns. And you shot them, and the other half was looking for a gun to pick up. And the fourth wave, and you got to the point that they had sticks, and they were running around trying to find a gun on the ground to shoot at you. And the only thing that defeated you was you gave out ammunition, and you couldn't shoot any more of them. Well, the devil, you ain't going to give out ammunition with Jesus Christ. And eventually he will stop his shock attacks. That's what happened in Korea. We gave out ammunition and we had to retreat. We didn't have anything to shoot at them with. We didn't have any bullets left. Never seen people expend bodies like that. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you and bless you and glorify you. It's time to stop. Y'all hold up your hands and let's stand up and get our blood circulating. I didn't realize I talked so long. I apologize to you. Lord, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. Everybody hold up their hands and praise Him a little bit and jump around and get your blood circulating. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Everybody, praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Woo-wee. I mean, He is a good God and a great God and a wonderful God. Let's everybody sit down and we're going to break some family curses and then we're going to call out these spirits that we've talked about. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was dead and buried, raised from the dead on the third day for my justification, ascended into heaven, to ever make intercession for me. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer kinsman. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a redeemed child of God. My citizenship is in heaven. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I confess the sins of my ancestors, the sins of illegitimacy, of incest, idolatry, whoredom, vagabond. I break these curses on me and my children forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I confess the sin of sexual immorality. Now, if you have anything in your life that you need to confess that has not been placed under the blood, you need to confess it quietly now under your breath. I do repent of these sins and ask that the curse be broken on me and my children forever. Lord Jesus, I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way,
contrary to the will of God,
to anyone
I have ever lusted after,
or had sex with,
outside of the will of God,
outside of matrimony.
Thank you, Lord.
I break all these soul ties
and release myself
and release them from me.
Call back my soul
and release foreign soul from me.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord God.
Now in the name of Jesus, I bind all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection. These are not rejected people. These are people of God. In the name of Jesus, I just bind all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. I rebind all lust that came in through rejection. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted in the name of Jesus. Fear of not being secure. Fear of not having enough. I bind all fear and all lust that came in through fear. Specifically, I bind that spirit of sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus. The daydreaming spirits in the name of Jesus. The spirits that would cause you to fantasize over your position, over your job, over your money, over your talents in the name of Jesus. That would cause you to come forth and control other people. Anything in the name of Jesus. I bind these spirits of fantasy in the name of Jesus. Fantasy, I bind you and command you to come out of their minds now. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. They don't want you in there. They want you to leave in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind all sexual fantasy, all fantasy in the name of Jesus. All daydreaming. I bind idolatry from fantasy in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of idolatry from fantasizing in the name of Jesus and command it to be gone. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All you, all of you. I bind all fornication spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits. I break the curse of porneo in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fornication spirits, all adultery spirits in the name of Jesus, all masturbation spirits in the name of Jesus. I break its authority. I break the curse of the whoredom. I break the curse of the whore in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the witch in the name of Jesus and command it to be gone in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. I break the curse of rebellion. Rebellion against God's will. Break the curse of rebellion and bitterness in the name of Jesus. All bitter spirits, all rebellion spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of pride and accusation and self-accusation. All spirits of self-accusation, come out. All spirits of compassion, of false compassion in the name of Jesus, come out. All spirits of come out. All spirits of perfection in the name of Jesus, perfection spirits, I bind you. All spirits of being perfectionistic, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of anger, rage, and murder, the root of bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of depression, all spirits of heaviness, all spirits of suicide, come out. All spirits of schizophrenia, I bind you. All spirits of paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of accusation, false accusation, come out. All accusing spirits, come out. All paranoid spirits, come out. All persecution complexes, come out. All spirits of persecution, come out. All harassing spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command all of you to be gone now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of infirmity off these people. I bind the spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. Come out, infirmity. I bind infirmities, but Jesus bore all their infirmities, all their sorrows and their sickness and their pain. He was wounded for their transgressions and bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of His peace was placed upon them. I bind all infirmity spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out. Infirmity in their heads. Come out. 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 All amnesia. Come out. Spirits of amnesia. Come out. Spirits of amnesia. Come out. Spirits of encephalitis, come out. Spirits of stroke, come out. Spirits of brain tumors, come out. Migraine headaches, I bind you, come out. Come out, migraine headaches, in the name of Jesus. Tension headaches, come out. Pain in the head, come out. Vascular headaches, come out. All glaucoma and blindness, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All cataracts, in the name of Jesus, I break your authority. All illiquid lenses, come out. Hardness of the lens, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your authority. I bind you in the name of Jesus and call you to be gone. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of homosexuality, I bind you. Come out. All perverse spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the cat of night, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. All spirits of the lesbian, come out. All man-eating spirits, come out. All spirits of Jezebel, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind you. All spirits now, come out. Come out. All spirits of sinusitis, I bind you. All spirits of sinusitis and bronchitis, come out. Asthma spirits, come out. All spirits of stomachache, esophagitis, stomach ulcers, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pancreatitis, colitis, cystitis, nephritis, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to leave God's people. All people of cystitis, prostatitis, urethritis, come out. All spirits of gonorrhea and chlamydia, come out. All spirits of AIDS, come out. All spirits of herpes, come out. Herpes zoster, herpes simplex, come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of diabetes, the curse of eating and of drinking blood. I break the curse of diabetes in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind it and I speak healing and restitution to these children. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Speak all arthritis. Come out. All muscle pain. All myositis. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All arthritis. All angitis. Come out. Come out. Come out. All baldness, come out. Baldness in the name of Jesus Christ. All baldness, come out. Come out. All ringworms, come out. Bind you in the name of Jesus. All for psoriasis, I bind you and command you to be gone. I break the curse of psoriasis in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break your authority in God's people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody hold up their hand and let's praise God. Oh, Jesus. Let your spirit come down now, Lord God. Let your spirit come down, Lord. Just thank you and we praise you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just praise you and bless you and glorify you. Y'all all stand up now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, I just loosen now, Lord God, the healing balm of Gilead. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to loosen your spirit now, Lord God. The spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Loosen the love of the Father to come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord, with your love, Lord God. With your love, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. We speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch your people, Lord. We praise and bless and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all can bless the food. Lord Jesus, I just thank you now. I just thank you for the food, Lord. Just bless it to our use, Lord God. Bless those people who work so hard to prepare it. Just bless it, Lord. Thank you for these people, Lord God. I speak healing and restitution and deliverance to them now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let the angels go before them and your glory be their rear guard. In the name of Jesus. And all God's folks said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.